What's up? It's your boy Mars, aka Marlon Beardo, the Bearded Weirdo, aka the Stella Rosa Casanova, and welcome to your favorite morning show that's taped last night. It's your boy Mars with a very special guest, and you're here looking at politicking as usual, where we talk about things that's going on in the world today from an urban spin, from a real life spin, from a reality spin. About all the pretentious BS that you see in all your favorite political shows. And with me, I have a guest. This guy is an artist. This guy is a creative. This guy is an activist. This guy is a real, genuine brother. I met him a little over a year ago, last summer, and I brought him on our mother show down in the Den. And he's just a super talented artist. He's friends with some other phenomenal artists that I know. Shout out to Johnny Raps and the camp up there. And he's here to talk about the state of Black America with me. It's our State of the Union address. I couldn't think of anyone better. Please give a warm politicking as usual, warm PAU welcome to the most unique one on the mic, Al Unique. Brother, how you doing today?
Peace, bro. I appreciate that intro, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Well deserved. Well deserved. For those who may not know, please just tell them a little bit about yourself, your artistry, and what you do.
Sure, most definitely. So, I'm known as Al Unique. I have, I dropped a project last year called Swag and Substance. Shout out to Johnny Raps for linking us and, making a lot of other things happen. But yeah, so I dropped a project then. Also, outside of that, I mean, I've been doing hip hop since I was 12 years old. But I've been organizing, doing a lot of community organizing, particularly here where I live in Brooklyn, since about 2015 or so. So the activist part of it, I was heavy on that. And then I kind of fell back on that and focused more on building. I've been doing political education with folks in the hood and whatnot. Yeah, because so I found that, by doing a lot of protesting and stuff, it was good for visibility. But at the same time, you're not base building. You're not like really moving the needle like that, doing that just on its own. There has to be a second component to protesting. You have to build with people and help people understand the situation at hand and that they have the power to stop it. So yeah, so basically that's just me in a nutshell, man. I'm an artist, an organizer, family loving, God fearing black man. You know what I'm saying? And also, I happen to come from my family's from Haiti, stuff. So I'm a staunch Pan-Africanist. I believe in the unity of all black people, regardless of where we at. And then, the once we're liberated in one place, that counts for liberation for all of us. So.
Absolutely, and that's beautiful, and that's something that I believe in as well, I say wherever you're at on the diaspora, you're my brother. If you're anywhere on it from Haiti to Compton, wherever you're at, anywhere on that diaspora, we are brothers. Now, I bring you on because right now, as we know, it seems like we just got out of it, but it's election year, and that we know when election years
Already, man.
here comes the pandering.
Already.
Here comes the pandering. They want the very, very powerful black vote. America votes 50-50 pretty much down the line, and our percentage is what generally tops over. But we're dealing with a situation where we have some corruption that obviously has existed because, there's a lot of corruption in the country, but it is being broadcast on your Twitter, on your Instagram, on every feed. Like it's becoming blatantly obvious. And we live in a country with a two-party system. So I always start about community because one of the reasons I created the Den is a community. I wanted to link a collective of artists that we can work off of each other, we can vibe off each other. I always tell people it's not a sin to use people, it's a sin to misuse people. So, let us all use our skills to eat together. There's enough cake out there for everyone. So as a community activist, I know you see it every time this time of year. People are coming to you, organize the vote, organize the vote, organize the vote. And then it seems like once the vote is captured and cast and the ballot is counted, they forget about us until the next 4 years. So what do you think as a state of Black America, what do you believe are our next steps in order to organize and really actually get something done in this country versus the pandering that, Hillary Clinton saying she got hot sauce in her bag and if you ain't vote for me, you ain't Black, that type of pandering that we get around this time every year, every 4 years.
Well, one of the things that I'm noticing is that among Black people in general, a good thing that I'm noticing is that we're starting to break the whole celebrity leadership myth. You know what I mean? Like, we're starting to understand that a lot of these people that we admired and respected for being wealthy and rich and being entertainers and people that, I love, you love, all of that, that we're starting to understand that there's a difference between somebody that we admire for a talent that they have, for something that they could do, versus somebody being your hero. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a popular clip of Malcolm X that circulates around where he's like talking about how like they put certain Black celebrities in front of us as leaders, and he's laughing as he's saying it because at that time it was absurd. Black people back then didn't see it that way. You know what I mean? But however, in our time, like for some reason, there was a period there where I felt like we really were, like we were so desperate looking for a leader. Like niggas would be like in barbershops, literally arguing, going, who's the next Black leader? Is Jay-Z a leader? Is Jay-Z? But the thing is that we looking at people about how much influence and money they have. We're never looking at it as far as like, yo, what could we do as a collective, right? So to get to the other part of your question. Like I think that one of the things we need to do is that we need to start organizing ourselves from top to bottom. You know what I mean? Like, if we have, for example, you look at like the Nation of Islam, what they did. They had farms, they had grocery stores, they had restaurant. The farms that fed the grocery stores and the restaurants, and in the community that fed into that, right? So they had this whole vertical integration thing going. We keep talking about the Black dollar and how like, oh, like, it doesn't stay in the community long enough. People looking at it the wrong way. Like if you look at Jewish communities and Asian communities, the dollar circulates in the way that those communities are organized. So they own all the means of production. You know what I mean? The Jewish community, they don't just have a grocery store. They also, in their community is the people that supply that grocery store. You know what I mean? These people don't just like, I live in New York, obviously. So these people don't just like rent buildings out to people. They're not just landlords. They also have construction, the cement, all of that. So so we look at things like, oh, like the wealth gap and so on and so forth. The first thing we got to look at is how we're organized. You know what I mean? We got to begin organizing on a local level. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to local politicians and so on and so forth. You know, not only are you supposed to like, yeah, you get out and vote or whatever, but how are you gonna hold that person accountable? How do you know who's funding that person? How do you demand, what's the criteria for who gets your support? You know what I mean? These are the things you need to be come together and have agreements on. You know what I mean? Like if you want the Black community support, you can't have no real estate money. You can't have no police money. Police union money. You know what I mean? Like things like that. If we're talking about elections, Biden ran an okie doke. I mean, he wasn't even running an okie doke. He was telling people who he was. And he was still saying, he was like, yo, listen, I'm gonna increase funding for the police. And by the way, if you don't vote for me, you're not Black.
You're not Black,
You
and I'm just
know
not
what I
Trump.
mean?
He literally ran
I'm
on,
just
I'm
not
just
Trump.
not Trump.
I'm just
And
not Trump. I'm just not that dude.
I can't understand how a bar got so low. And I've always been anti-two-party system, because to me it's, I always say if it's heads or tails, it's still the same quarter. So, we're looking at two sides. Now, do you think the answer is us literally? And I remember Ice Cube got a lot of flack for this, but talking to Republicans, And I'm all for who has our agenda in mind. I don't really trust either of you. So is that an option with us lifting our vote and saying, no, Democrats, you need to earn it? Or, hey, we're open, we're open for business. What do you have to offer? Or do you think the answer is starting a third party or even going as far as saying, hey, starting a nation, like you mentioned?
Yo.
We have, when you look at the black dollar, I think there's a stat going around like we're the sixth or seventh largest economy as a nation. Literally,
On our
if you look at
own.
if we got organized and we were saying, okay, we're buying land, we're all moving here, we can just establish our own Wakanda. People think it's just, we're having the black doctors that you believe in here, the black farmers, the black all in the community and hold ourselves as a nation since we don't really have an embassy. Is that the answer? What do you think is something that a strategy that you would rock with moving forward for us as a collective?
Yeah, I think the last option is like the best, but it takes time, right? You can't get there right away. I think what you do is you start with perhaps, making your own party. But whatever it is you got to do, you got to get organized. You know what I mean? On a political level, on a local level, addressing the local needs. First, we have to be organized on a local level in such a way that we are organized around what our problems are, what our issues are. You know what I mean? That are impacting us directly. You know what I'm saying? So, if, for example, we know that crime is an issue in our neighborhoods, right? We need to over policing is an issue in our neighborhoods, right? So, like, we need to get community control of the police, for example. You know what I mean? Community control, we need to organize around having power, So, what politician would be bold enough to stand up to the black community and say, oh no, y'all don't need community control? You know what I mean? Like, over your schools, over your police force, all of these things. You have to start these things on a local level. And when you're talking about politically, we need to organize around power, not politicians. You know what I mean? So, like, instead of us like sitting here and being like, yo, like, I think candidate X of the Democratic Party, his policy is a little bit better than candidate Y. Nah, like, that's us jumping on and trying to fit ourselves into someone else's agenda. Even if they're black, they don't necessarily have our collective agenda in mind. You know what I'm saying? So what we need to do is be organized around and have a full understanding of what our needs are. What do we need as a community? What's the most pressing thing that we got going on? Because when we're doing those things and observing like how these things are impacting us, what institutions play a role, who we should be holding accountable. Like, these are part of the steps of doing, nation building on a political level. When we start to address things like crime in our community, how we get food, our relationship, like, let's say we build relationships with people who do farming down south, right? Like, like, we in Brooklyn, we start like a community supported agriculture program with some people down in South Carolina, because a lot of people got family down there, right? And they got agriculture down there, and boom, now we're going back and forth. And then we do the same thing in the diaspora with the Caribbean, right? When we start doing these things, addressing our needs, our supply of food, how we distribute those needs and resources throughout our community, these are the practices of nation building. So we have to get into the habit of doing that, the habit of having self-determination. Because what we doing when we say like the way, like the first couple options you say, yo, so what, do we talk to the Republicans? It's like us putting our fate in somebody's hands. You know what I
Absolutely.
mean? But when you start talking about like the second and fourth option, you know what I mean? Having your own political party, building a nation. In order for you to have your own political party, you need to be doing the practices of understanding what your needs are and what the aspirations of your community are, right? So all of these go into, it's just another step towards that direction. So yeah,
Absolutely.
man, that's the way, That's the way I see it, you know. And we need to stay linked to what's going on in the diaspora, the struggles going on in Haiti. You know what I mean? They trying to throw the yoke of colonialism off their back in Africa. You know what I mean? They bucking back. You know what I mean? You see them, like, even the sellouts over there are talking back to Empire. You know what I mean? Saying openly, like, look, we're gonna deal with China because with this
Not on our
multipolar
land.
world.
Yeah.
Yeah, these with this multipolar world, you have the options of who to deal with. So now, if our brothers and sisters over there can make it happen, you know, that creates more leverage for us here.
Absolutely, man. Brother, you see me smiling ear to ear because it's
Yeah.
so comfortable,
I'm
comforting
optimistic,
to
man.
hear. I'm optimistic, man. I
Yeah.
feel like we've got all the resources, we've got all the education that's out there. It's just putting it all together. Now, one biggest thing, and I think you're probably the most suited to answer this question as an actual artist who creates wonderful music that doesn't fit the norms of what people assume a hip hop artist. You have songs about love, you have songs about culture, you have songs about family, you have songs about loss and everything, like a real true artist. And a lot of people, I've had this debate on different shows, being that our mother show is a show that's really focused about artists and music. So when I'm on other shows, a lot of people ask me, they're like, you know, it's your culture, it's your culture. The music is so violent, the music promotes drugs. And I always tell people, we don't own these labels. When people say there's not artists, I was like, I can personally put you on that I have in my phone about 30 dope artists that aren't talking about any of the things that you feel are detrimental to the community, that the music sounds better, but the algorithm says, nah, we're not gonna push this aside. But the moment someone says something, you know, music that's destructive, it seems like it gets pushed on the front. And I tell people, you know, a lot of people say I'm a tinfoil hat. I, you know, because I'm saying, as it's almost, I see the same recipe. Artists makes out music that's promoting gang culture, promoting things that are detrimental. Artists gets killed. Record label gets huge insurance policy on artists and gets their rights and music for perpetuity. Rinse, repeat, wash. And people say, "Oh man, you're making it sound so nefarious," and I say, "It's not. It's reality. This is a business. Why will I pay
It's
this guy?
capitalism.
It's capitalism." I always say, "You know, democracy is great. Capitalism is inherently evil. It's just naturally inherently evil." So, what do you think as an artist? Is it up to artists' responsibility, or is it up to these labels, these gatekeepers, these media outlets to put more of a focus and give highlight on artists like yourself that has a song like Shea Butter that's like, yo, I can let my grandma listen to this and I can listen to it right now and I don't have to bleep a thing. Who do you think's responsibility is that?
I think that like the artists who are on that platform, I think once they get there, it becomes their responsibility. Cause I understand they're put through a lot of pressure to be like that. But I think once they reach the place where they have leverage, right, they should then have the responsibility to be like, you know what, I have my fan base, you know, I've proven to make good music that's consistent and they haven't left me. I'm gonna start speaking my mind. You know what I mean? I'm gonna tell it like it is. And you know what I mean? If they want to start shadow banning me or whatever, that's fine. I could survive on doing tours. You know, there's dudes that haven't had new music since the 2000s and they're touring forever. You know what I mean? So there's no reason why, like, you know, someone in a high place, like, I want to say, like, who's banging like NBA YoungBoy or, well, he's still fairly new, so he got to get some more time, right, before he
Right.
has more leverage. But like, let's say like a Kendrick Lamar, or like a J. Cole, who actually is kind of like that. You know what I mean? Like to where they get to a point where it's like, listen, I have enough like currency in my name that I don't gotta play these games anymore. You know what I mean? Because the thing is too, the whole targeting the artist thing and making them where they completely culpable. is also a way to attack black youth. Because when you say, oh, it's the culture, it's the culture, it's the culture, then what it is in reality, when they speaking on the culture, not black culture, but on the music and style and all of that, that's directly targeting black youth. And that's always been a running theme when you look at like this race, this racist rhetoric or whatever, like super predators and all of that, like what Hillary Clinton was saying. It's always targeting black youth. It's always putting the culpability on them, right? And the thing is, when you look at these kids, and I work a lot with them in my professional life, you know what I'm saying? I work a lot with teenagers and kids in middle school and in their early 20s. And what I find is that like they're very diverse in their taste. And what people should be picking up on is that when you listen to the radio and you hear what's playing and what's being put in front of you on these algorithms and all of that, there's a lack of diversity. That should already be telling you that it's not the culture. You know what I mean? That lack of diversity, like, tell me why is it that every black female rapper, right, has to, this on a major scale, has to be a sex bot. I don't see nothing wrong with women like expressing their sexuality. I ain't got nothing against that. But what I mean is that why does it have to be so one-dimensional? When you got Shay Noir, when you got Girl Code out of Brooklyn, these two young female MCs are ripping it. You know what I'm saying? You got all these different female MCs that got viable fan bases and have been around and could tour if they wanted to. Man, and they bubbling, but you're not showing that diversity. That should be telling people this ain't a real representation of our youth. You know, not all New York City kids, and I work with them a lot. The media and social media will have you believe that most kids in New York City listen to drill music all day, every day. That's just what they like to dance and make TikToks to. When
Right.
you talk to these kids, they got a deep appreciation for hip hop. They're not boxed in just one era, and they have a wide taste of music, like a wider range. And I was dealing with kids from like the projects, you know what I'm saying? And they got a wide range in their taste of music. They ain't one dimensional like that.
Man, you nailed that on the head, and I was hoping that was the answer you would say. Because I tell people, even though I'm only 40 years old, I grew up listening to hip hop at a super young age, way before I was supposed to, because of the age gap with my brother and I, 10 years apart. So I grew up listening when I was 6 years old, listening to Public Enemy, listening to Ice Cube, listening to Too Short, NWA, everything that he was listening to. But I noticed in the 80s, there was like more variety. So you would have an artist that was very poppy. You have an artist that was militant. You have an artist that was about education. You have an artist that was a gangster. And it was a smorgasbord, just like real life, just like real people. No one's a monolith. No culture is a monolith. And you had everything, and you can choose. And you might listen to De La Soul, and you might listen to Ice Cube in the same CD rap, but you're getting something different. But now, it seems the algorithm is purposely putting you on things that can eventually be destructive if you think that is us, and also paints a picture of us, as you mentioned, super predators, and makes it easier when you see one of us get shot to say, oh, just hunting a super predator. It's not a human being. So I'm so glad that you said that, man. That is something that we all should think on. So, brother, I know you have some things to do, man, and I appreciate you dropping by, dropping these gems. We can't thank you so much. Anytime you want to come on to any of our shows, please hit me up. We gotta have you there. But please let the people know where they can find you on social media, where they can find your art, any shout outs, anything you want to promote. I would love for you to go ahead and
Yeah, now
take a moment to do that.
no doubt appreciate you, bro. So you can find me at iUnique_NOIZE on Instagram for the music, iUnique_NOIZE. That's noise with a Z, and my regular Instagram is iUnique7. That's where you can get all my political takes and takes on organizing and stuff like that. Yeah, man. And my stuff's on YouTube too. So just put it Al Unique Shea Butter, got a video for that. Al Unique Fulton Express with an X only, no E in the beginning. Yeah, I got a couple videos up on there too. And look out for some more projects. I'll be tapping in with you about that real soon, Mars.
I love it. Well, please check out my man Al. He's super dope. I only recommend the best, and he's doing amazing things in the music community as well as in the community, and you can't beat that. So, guys, I thank you so much for this segment of Politicking as Usual. Al, thank you. Peace and blessings, brother, man.
Peace, bro.
Thank you, man. Shout out. I'm coming to New York soon, man. We're gonna
Oh,
have to
word.
have. I got an idea, man. I got about 15 inmates that I want to come out there, and we're gonna get in the studio. And we're gonna create
Listen.
some magic, man. I got some ideas, so you're gonna
Yo, let me
hear from me.
know.
It gets a little warmer. You're definitely gonna get the invite, bro.
Let me know. Let me know. Please do. Tap me in, bro.
Absolutely,
Word up.
I got you. Well, guys, please check out my man Al. Thank you so much again for stopping. This has been Politicking as Usual, your favorite weekly morning show that comes out a week late. Why? Because what's the best nation in the world? The best
That's
nation in the world is procrastination. So I peace, guys. I love y'all. Thank you, Politicking as
peace.
Usual. We're out.